Heavenly Father, tonight we come to you in the name of Jesus. And Lord, we're privileged to open the Word of God and to read from it and to learn from it. And Father, tonight I ask that the teacher would come who is the Holy Ghost. Lord, no man, no woman, no living creature can effectively teach your word without the divine enablement and assistance of the Holy Spirit. And I ask you tonight, Lord, that you would give us that, for we need a word from heaven tonight. We need uplifted, Lord. We need to know more about you and your word. And Father, I just ask for the anointing of the Holy Spirit tonight to rest upon everything we say. Help us to rightfully divide the word of truth in a way that it would be a blessing to your people and bring glory and honor to the person of the Lord Jesus Christ. And we'll not fail to give you, Lord Jesus, all the praise, honor, and glory for whatever you do. In Jesus' name, amen and amen. Well, last week we were in the midst of the fire, or week before last, I'm sorry, we were in the midst of the fiery furnace. And you'll recall the story, hopefully, how Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego, because of their loyalty to Jehovah God, refused to bow before the king's statue, and he had them thrown in the fiery furnace. And it's quite a story when you study it. If you were able to be with us, you'll remember that one of the great aspects of the story that's often overlooked is that at least three, possibly more, of the king's guards were killed throwing Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego in the fire because it was so hot. And that was the first miracle, the first sign that God was with these Hebrew boys. And we brought out during that lesson that God will always give us a sign. When he calls us to go through something of great magnitude, he will never do it. You won't find it in Scripture, and I've proven it in my own walk, and I'm sure many of you could say amen to it. When he's called us to go through something, he will always give us some sign that he's with us and he's going to carry us through. And further, we talked about how God doesn't always deliver us from the fire. We would like it to be that way, wouldn't we? We would just like to be able to confess the fire away and say it's not there and say everything's going to be rosy. But no, more often than not, God's not going to deliver us from the fire. He's going to deliver us in it. He's going to allow us to walk headlong into it and then prove to us that he is able to sustain us and he's able to keep us in the midst of it all. Now, that's pretty amazing when you think about it. His ability to sustain us wherever we are, and his ability to give us a sign that he's going to go with us. And in these last days in which we're living, I believe that God has given us the most profound sign of all, and he gave it 2,000 years ago when Jesus Christ gave his life on the cross. The cross tells us that God's presence is going to be with us, that he is going to sustain us no matter what he calls us to go through. And right now we're going through some very, very difficult situations in this country. And I believe for the true believer, and what do you mean when you say true believer? I'm talking about everybody who sincerely has their faith placed in Jesus Christ and what he did for them at the cross. I'm talking about people that really love God and really want to follow after God. I'm not talking about people that just want a religious fix every now and then. But to those who are really true believers in Jesus Christ, I believe there's some dark days ahead. I believe there's some very difficult days coming. But in the midst of it all, God has given us a sign to look to prove to us that he's going to be with us, that he's going to sustain us, and he's going to care for us in the midst of it all. He's not going to deliver us from it, but he'll take us through it. And I do believe the word of God. The Lord has taken me to this scripture so many times over the past few weeks, Psalm 37:25, where King David said, I have been young and now I'm old, yet have I not seen the righteous forsaken, nor his seed out begging bread. God will provide for us, and he will take us through the fires that he calls us to go through. He'll give us a sign that he's with us. He'll let us know, and he'll give us a very specific sign. Perhaps I felt the Holy Spirit check me there. The cross would be enough. Absolutely, that would be enough. But he's always going to show up some other way to let us know, I'm with you, and I'm not going to leave you. That's the salient truth in that miracle, and I pray you'll remember it. to know that when Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego were thrown into that fiery furnace, that it killed at least three of those guards. Probably more likely it was six or more of them it killed, just getting a minute. And the fire didn't touch them at all, even at that point in time. Then we went on with the story, and after they're thrown in, they were thrown in bound with twice the amount of clothing on, with chains wrapped around them. And then the king looked in the fire. Now, something I want to bring out here as we get ready to pick up the story. Often in the Old Testament, the miracles of God were specifically aimed at false deities that the people worshipped, false gods. Under Nebuchadnezzar's reign, the Babylonians worshipped a god called Isbar, who they believed was the god of fire. They believed that, you know, just like in today's modern world, they had a propensity to worship anything but true Jehovah God. And they worshipped the fire god. His name was Isbar. They believed that by worshiping him, that they were completely protected. And this great miracle of God was no doubt aimed to show them that he was greater than Isbar. Because as they were thrown in the fire, Nebuchadnezzar looks in there. And I don't know why the Holy Spirit left it silent. I think that miracle, he's got his reasons, though. But to me, that glaring miracle of the fire killing the soldiers as they threw Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego in cannot be overstated we can't minimize that. That was a miracle where God showed, I'm going to be with you, boys. And to me, it should have done something to Nebuchadnezzar at that point in time, but we don't, possibly, I'm sure it did, but we don't read of it. But in any event, when he looked in the fire, you know the famous quote, he said, we threw three in, I see four in there walking around. And he said, walking around. That meant in the midst of the fire that God chose to allow Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego to go through, the only thing that got burned up was what had them encumbered and bound. That's God's power. Hallelujah. When he calls you to go through the fire, and he's going to deliver you from the fire, or deliver you in the fire, I should say, the only thing that's going to get burned up are things we really didn't need in the first place anyway. And he's going to show us that I'm able to deliver you in the fire and to provide for you in the fire. And the things that you fear were going to burn you up, I can take the burn out of them because I'm your God. I'm your Lord. And I'm never going to leave you. I'm never going to forsake you. Praise God. And as the king looked in, he said, we see four walking around. In other words, the bondage was gone now. There was no more. The only thing that got, that's another miracle if you look at it. What got burned up was all the clothes that had them encumbered and all the chains. And then the king said, I see that fourth man in the fire. That fourth man, of course, was a pre-incarnate appearance of the Lord Jesus Christ. And this story, which is more than a story, this narrative, I should say, would be the proper way to expound it. This narrative tells us that forevermore, God is with his children. And we must resist, because we brought this out too. Satan is always going to present an alternative way for the child of God. Without fail, he's going to present an alternative to God's righteous and holy and proper way. He does it today by the millions of plans. He does it today. He'll come up with any kind of scheme or plan to attempt to get an individual to place his faith in something other than the cross. And that's why for the believers, the true believers in this last day, I believe it's going to get a little bit rough. Because we're going to be looked askance at. We already are. But I believe it's going to get worse. I mean, right now, think of how many states are allowing homosexuals to marry. Think of that. I never thought I'd see that come to pass in my lifetime. To where I think it's some seven states now. And it's going to, sadly, I don't mean to be sound real negative tonight. But this world, the Bible says it, is going to get worse and worse as we draw near to the coming of the Lord Jesus Christ. That is the hope we have as believers, though. As we live in these last days, so to speak, in the midst of the fire, God is walking through this life with us. And he has given us a sign and a seal, not only of what he did on the cross, he has filled us with his Holy Spirit, which is a sign and a seal and an assurance of his presence as he calls us to live. But it's going to be difficult because more and more the true believer is going to try, they're going to try to make us feel out of step. They're going to try to make us feel politically incorrect. They're going to try to make us feel intellectually inferior. All these efforts are going to intensify the closer and closer we come to the Lord Jesus Christ. And the Bible says that it would. That's okay, sweetie. And the Bible says that these things would happen. So I hope you don't get the idea tonight as I have to expound a little bit upon these terrible events that, we're going to be called to live through, that it's all negative. Because the Bible says, Jesus said, when you see these things coming to pass, look up, for your redemption is drawing nigh. Praise God. And who knows how far it's going to go before the Lord pulls us out of here. Just like he delivered Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego in the fire. Who knows how much longer we have here on planet Earth before the glorious rapture of the church takes place. I don't know how far God's going to let it go on. I know he's merciful, and he always gives a space of time for people to repent. And Andy, it's so good to see you tonight, buddy. I know you love being here. Andy blesses me because I know he's just like all you all, but he really wants to be in the house of God. And he's been having trouble at his work to where he's having to work extra and everything. And you maybe you never saw him. I don't mean to embarrass you, Andy, but he blessed me in the fact he gets mad because he can't be in church. I tell you, that sometimes that convicts me, to be honest with you. Because there have been times I'm like, oh, Lord, I'm so tired. You know how we all get. Now, come on, don't look at me like y'all. But Andy gets mad when it can't be here after working a 10 to 16-hour shift. And I'm like, Lord, thank you for somebody like Andy to convict me and to show me and help me keep my priorities where they need to be. Andy, you're a blessing. It's good to have you here tonight. Anyway, back to our class now. Now that I've humiliated Andy, let's go on with the class. But I don't want to sound too negative, but church, these things are going to happen. The Bible says they would. But Jesus said, look up when you see these things starting to happen. Your redemption is drawing nigh. The rapture could occur at any second. All prophecy is fulfilled, and we don't know when it's going to happen. And that's another hope that God has given us. That's why the book of Titus calls the rapture the blessed hope. Because as we walk through the fire of this life as true believers, and as this fire is going to intensify, we have the blessed hope of knowing, just like Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego knew when they said, we're not going to bow. Let me put that in the modern vernacular. What they were saying is that we're not going to turn from the cross. We're not going to turn from God's prescribed way of worship that we know to be right. And they were made to feel like outcasts. They were made to feel intellectually inferior. They were made to feel like they were on the wrong path and they were just stupid and missing out on something. But church, that first second in glory, it's going to be worth it all. Ain't it, Mary? That first second up there. Man, when we have that reunion around the throne of God with all of our loved ones and we see the Lord Jesus Christ himself, and we know we're going to spend eternity there. No wonder the Bible says this life down here is but a puff of smoke. Church, it's coming. So no matter how difficult it may get, always turn to the cross and to the promises that have been given to us by Jesus Christ. And know that he's able. And that attitude that Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego had, which is pure faith in its purest form. O King, the God whom we serve is able. I love these words, to deliver us out of your hand. But if not, hallelujah, but if not, he will deliver us ultimately from you. You have no power over us. We're not ultimately citizens of your kingdom. We happen to be here right now. It's a perfect picture of the child of God. So ultimately, God is going to deliver us. He's going to be with us. But when Nebuchadnezzar looked in that fire, he saw four people walking around. Jesus was with them. And let's pick up now in verse 24. Then Nebuchadnezzar the king was astonished and rose up in haste and spake and said unto his counselors, did not we cast three men bound into the midst of the fire? They answered and said unto the king, true, O king. You know, I get amused at these counselors of the king, because these were no doubt the very ones that had, to use a vernacular phrase, ratted out Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego. Went and told on them for not worshiping the king's statue. Can you imagine how they feel right now? I got a feeling these boys were a little bit worried. Verse 25. He answered and said, lo, I see four men loose. Praise God. They went inbound, but Jesus was in the fire with them, and now they're walking around loose. I see four men loose walking in the midst of the fire, and they have no hurt, and the form of the fourth is like the Son of God. Hallelujah. Praise God. Praise God. He's still walking in the fire with his children. Whenever he calls us to, and by fire I mean a difficult situation that he's going to call us to go through, he's going to walk in there with you. And he will never leave you. He will never forsake you. That's the glorious promise we have in the Lord Jesus Christ. And then verse 26. Then Nebuchadnezzar came near to the mouth of the burning fiery furnace and spake. Now, I don't know about you, but I can just see Nebuchadnezzar, after witnessing the soldiers being slain, seeing Shadrach and Meshach and Abednego walk on in the fire, and then looking in and seeing a pre-incarnate appearance of the Lord Jesus Christ. I don't know how close he came to the mouth of this burning fiery furnace. We know he couldn't have come too close, or it would have killed him. But I got a feeling he was walking rather trepidly and cautiously toward the mouth of it. He didn't want to get too awfully close to it, because he is no doubt in fear right now. He came near to the mouth of the burning fiery furnace and spake and said, Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego, ye servants of the Most High God, come forth and come hither. Then Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego came forth out of the midst of the fire. Praise God. Praise God. They walked out of there like it was a nice summer evening, like right now. Unbound and unchained. And they had experienced the presence of God and the keeping power of God in their darkest hour. I want you to think for just a moment about the darkest day of your life. I'm talking about as a believer. I'm not talking about as an unbeliever. Think about it. Wasn't he there with you? He brought you out, didn't he? You didn't think you were going to make it. You didn't think to look at the situation. You felt there's no way I'm going to hold up. But he was there. He was there with you. That should be a great encouragement to all of us. When I think back on what was possibly one of the darkest days of my life, and I was wondering, I didn't feel him there, but he was there. He was there. He was there, and he ultimately proved himself to me that he was there. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. That's right, Mary. That's a beautiful song. That's a beautiful song. He was there all the time. And as Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego walk out of the most terrible circumstance in their life, this Bible says they came out without the smell of smoke even on them. Now bear in mind, this was a smelting furnace that they used to melt gold in. No doubt this was the very furnace used to make the statue of gold that Nebuchadnezzar had set up. And what Satan had planned for their destruction, what he had planned for their destruction became an instrument of their hour of glory. God had it planned as an instrument for their hour of glory to show his power. How many times has that happened in my life when I thought, man, this is it. I'm not going to recover from this one. I'm not going to get by this. But I learned to keep my faith in him. And he's not limited, praise God, in what he can do. There is no limit in him. I feel the Holy Ghost all over me as I say those words. He is not limited in what he can do. He's not limited, like the old song says, by man's decrees. He's not limited by the fire. He's not limited by the elements. He's not limited by finances or anything that we would that limits us. He's not limited. Hallelujah. And he's going to, oh, glory to God. He's going to call you out. He's going to go in with you, and he's going to call you out. And when you come out, you're going to know in a deeper way that your God is real and that he's able to do exceedingly abundantly above all you could ask or think. Praise God. That's the very reason. Hallelujah. I feel the Holy Ghost falling like rain right now. God's not planning your destruction. He's planning your day of glory. He's not planning your defeat. He's planning you a victory parade right now. Glory to God. And Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego walked out of that fiery furnace. Can't you just see this picture, church? As this king, this evil king, calls them and says, come hither, come forth. And they just casually come walking out of the flames. My Lord, what a God we serve. What a God we serve, what a God we serve. Somebody give him a hand of praise tonight. Hallelujah. Praise God. Praise God. Praise God. Hallelujah. And Jesus said, I am the same yesterday, today, and forever. Glory to God. He doesn't change. He's still in the business of delivering from the fiery furnace. Praise God. Hallelujah. Verse 27. And the princes, governors, and captains, and the king's counselors, being gathered together, saw these men upon whose bodies the fire had no power. Wow. What a testimony to God's keeping power. You don't know when he's going to do it, and you don't know how he's going to do it. But if we'll keep our faith in him, just like Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego did, our deliverance is assured. You never have to worry about, will he deliver me? You may wonder how he's going to do it. I'm sure Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego were wondering as they walked toward this fiery furnace. But I can't help but believe that even though there was fear in their hearts, they walked in the same way they walked out. Knowing that God, the God they served, was able. And they didn't know. He might have. Let me say it this way. There have been times throughout history, and I hear missionaries, I've heard of missionaries tell great stories of God's deliverance. But also there's been many thousands of missionaries whom cannibals ate. Was their deliverance any less glorious than the ones who maybe saw deliverance? Absolutely not. But God is sovereign. God is sovereign. Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego knew this. It's in their statement. O king, the God whom we serve is able to deliver us from the fiery furnace. But if not, he will deliver us out of your hand. You know, in God's plan, in God's master scheme of things, there's going to be times that people are going to give their life for Jesus Christ. They're going to be martyred for their faith. And God, in his sovereign will and wisdom, allows that to happen. But their deliverance, if their faith is in Jesus Christ, their deliverance is no less powerful than God choosing to work a miracle to extend their lives. How often, I believe I shared with you the story of a dear sister I pastored in Mount Vernon by the name of Kathy Fish, who was the Lord just gloriously saved her, delivered her from a hellish life of sin. I mean, she was a very intelligent lady, was a registered nurse, but she had for a long time lived a life of debaucherous sin. And about a year after coming to the Lord, and God had just gloriously saved her, she loved the message of the cross, and God just moved marvelously in her life, but she contracted cancer. And we kept praying and having faith for about another year for her, but ultimately, The last time I talked to Kathy in the hospital, she told me, she said, "Pastor, it's going to be all right. I can't lose. Either God's going to extend my life or I'm going to heaven." I walked out of that hospital room that day weeping. Not sad, but I just thought, oh, how I wish a woman like this could get on TV before the world and teach on faith. Because that's really what it is. And church, sometimes it's going to be that way. We're not going to be able to fully understand the whys and the intricacies of God's plan. Sometimes, in His wisdom, but He's going to leave us in the fire, there's going to be times people are going to give their life for the cause of Christ. We can't fully understand, nor will we know, until we get to heaven. But here's what's of paramount importance. That we know of a surety His promises are true, and that we have eternal life in Jesus Christ. Everybody, unless you go by way of rapture, is going to die in this life. I believe in divine healing as much as anybody. I've seen God do it too many times. He's healed me. And yes, we'll pray for people. We'll pray the prayer of faith and we'll believe God. But it is certainly no lack of faith on anybody's part if they are not healed and God takes them home to glory. You see, faith, as I tried to bring out as we begin this story, is eternal in nature. It's not a temporary thing. Our faith is eternal. The faith that you possess tonight in Jesus Christ and what He did for you at the cross, you'll always look back on it for a billion years from tonight as you stand around the throne of God and know, I got here by faith. Faith is a very, very powerful thing if it's proper faith. And of course, proper faith is faith in Christ and what He did at the cross. It is eternal in nature. And when God promises deliverance, He will deliver. Sometimes it may not be in the way as we as humans would like to see. How many missionaries have I heard of? One of them in particular, I forget his last name. He ministered for 2 years to the Aka Indians of Peru. Nobody wanted to go to Peru because these people were cannibals. Jim one day told his family, "God's called me to go to Peru and to take the gospel to these Aka Indians in the backwoods and in the rainforests of Peru, in the jungles of Peru." And for 2 years he raised funds to go, with everybody in the world telling him he was crazy. And he said, God's called me to go. And on the day he was leaving, they said, "Jim, you're flying into certain death." And he looked back at his family and said, "He is no fool who gives up that which he cannot keep to gain that which he cannot lose." And I'd like to tell you that Jim went to the Aka Indians and they had great revival and all of Peru was saved. He was there about a year and they killed him and ate him alive. But, he had a year to preach the gospel. And the gospel is the most powerful force on this planet. And some of the chiefs who had heard him preach, after they'd killed him, some of their kids got sick. And they began to call then for more missionaries to come like Jim to tell them more about Jesus Christ. And ultimately they did have a great revival there. But you see, God's plan to open up that door of the gospel in the here and now was to call Jim to sacrifice his life for it. But Jim knew that, hey, this life down here is a puff of smoke anyway. You know, I wish I could look more at life that way. I'm ashamed to admit, my faith is not where it ought to be in that realm. I think we've been so blessed here in America, so overly abundantly blessed, that it's actually weakened the faith of a lot of people. Mine, I'm going to speak for myself. I don't want to talk down to nobody else. Been so blessed that my faith is weak. Because, you know, what we think is a real trial I mean, really, nobody's about to put us in a boiling pot tonight and, you know, have us for a snack before they watch American Idol tonight, are they? Really? You get what I'm saying? You know, and I look and I start comparing what I think has been so horrible and so awful. And I have to fall on my face and say, Lord, forgive me. I'm just a big crybaby. Forgive me for my lack of faith. Forgive me for not believing you and trusting you like I should. But I don't want to close on a negative. I want to close on this. That's the mercy and grace of God. That's why Jesus said, if you have faith as a grain of mustard seed, you could say to this mountain, be thou removed and be thou cast into the sea. And if you'll believe it and doubt not in your heart, you'll have whatsoever you say. Now I know faith teachers, that's Mark 11, 24, 23 and 24 I just quoted. And I know faith teachers for years, it's not talking about you just going out here to show off your faith and speak to some hill or say, be plucked up, just to show how much faith you have. That's not the context Jesus was speaking in. He was actually referring to sin, to the believer's sin nature and sin in the life of the believer. Boy, how would you like to have him teach on that sometime? You don't hear much about it being put in its proper context. It's always confess and whatsoever you have, you'll say. Or whatsoever you say, you'll have. You know, you need a Cadillac. You need a 8-bedroom home with 5 showers and gold faucets and all this other stuff. That's not faith. It's got nothing to do with faith. Jesus was referring to you believing on him and asking him to remove sin and to make you holy and righteous before God. That's the most powerful thing that will ever be done for us. I don't care how many natural miracles God may work for you and I as we live out our lives here on planet Earth. The greatest will always be the day he washed our sin away and turned to Almighty God in heaven and says, they're holy, they're righteous, they're totally clean in your sight now. That's mountain-moving faith right there. That's what Jesus was referring to. And God help us to get back to that simplicity of real biblical faith. Our lives will be so much more enriched if we would do that. I've got to hurry. Let me close here. Let's go to verse 28. Then Nebuchadnezzar spake and said, blessed be the God of Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego, who hath sent his angel and delivered his servants that trusted in him and have changed the king's word and yielded their bodies, that they might not serve nor worship any god except their own God. What an acknowledgement here by the most powerful man in the world at this time, that there's no God like your God, Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego. One day, the entirety of this world, the Bible says it, every knee is going to bow and every tongue is going to confess that Jesus Christ is Lord to the glory of God the Father. And we'll be standing there, church, when it happens. All of the powers and potentates now that are making unrighteous decrees and formulating horrific laws, and most of them are in Washington, D.C. right now, unfortunately. All those who think they are powerful and mighty now will one day walk before the throne of God. And if they have not repented of their sin and asked Jesus Christ to cleanse them from it and place their faith exclusively in what he did at the cross, if they harden their heart and refuse Jesus Christ, they'll walk in before the multitudes of multitudes, before the throne of God, where Jesus will be seated at his right hand, and they will bow and make the same confession that Nebuchadnezzar just made. You are God. There is none like you, Lord Jesus Christ. Sadly, it'll be too late for him then, at the great white judgment throne. That's for unbelievers. That's not for believers. Sometimes I used to confuse that, and people get all worried and think, ooh, I hope I don't have to face that. You won't. If your faith is in Jesus Christ, you'll have already been in heaven quite a number of human years by the time the great white judgment throne occurs. But every knee is going to bow and every tongue is going to make the confession that Nebuchadnezzar made. When they do it, makes all the difference in the world. Whether they do it on this side of eternity or on the other side, it's going to get done. Verse 29. Look at the effect this miracle has on Nebuchadnezzar. Therefore, I make a decree that every people, nation, and language which speak anything amiss against the God of Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego shall be cut in pieces, and their houses shall be made a dunghill, because there is no other God that can deliver after this sort. Then the king promoted Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego in the province of Babylon. I tell you, Andy, the fiery furnace is a tough way to get a promotion, but it's sure, buddy. God's just working on promoting you right now, Andy. You hang in there and keep your faith in him, okay? His way's not our way. His way's not our way. And what a decree the king made. Wouldn't you love to hear something like that come out of Washington, D.C.? Wouldn't you love to love it if President Obama tomorrow morning stood up and said, Jesus Christ is the Lord of this world. He's the Lord of the United States of America. And we're going to make a law that says there is no worship of any other God. That would be a good law. That'd be a great law to make. Praise God. That's the equivalent of what happened there. Due to this miracle and due to the faith of Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego, it began the conversion of Nebuchadnezzar. And ultimately, Nebuchadnezzar gave his heart to the Lord. We're going to read about that over at the end of chapter 4. Any questions or comments on what we talked about tonight? I hope we've been able to bring out some things the last few weeks about this fiery furnace, because we hear this story since we were kids in little Sunday school classes, and it's good we know the main portions of it, but hopefully we've dug into it a little bit deeper. You've been blessed by what we've studied about it. Any questions or comments before we close tonight? Yes, Teresa. No, not at all. As you read your Bible throughout the New Testament and even in the Old, when Jesus made an appearance, a lot of times he'd say, fear not. Because we as humans, our faith is never perfect. Our faith is only perfected by our faith in Jesus Christ. Do you follow me on that? Been taught that. No. Yeah. Well, you've got to understand a biblical definition of fear, as many times as it talks about fear, is that having a fear that Jesus Christ is not true. In other words, to the point your faith in him becomes weak. Doesn't mean that, we do worry way too much. I want to say that. You know, we as humans, that's why Jesus told us, he said, you know, don't worry about what you're going to eat. He said, God clothes the lilies of the field, you know. He said, if one of your children asks for something to eat, are you going to give them a rock? Or if they ask for meat, you know, you're going to toss them a serpent? He said, how much more will your heavenly Father do good things for you, you know? But unfortunately, we have an imperfect faith, Teresa. It's never going to be. And I will say this. I believe what we saw in this story of Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego is the gift of faith in operation. One of the gifts of the Holy Spirit. Because we don't have any faith at all except God give it to us. The Bible says unto every man is given a measure of faith. Okay? We can't possess it unless he gives it to us. And I believe they were given the gift of faith. And when it comes from the Holy Spirit, what happens is that the Holy Spirit so comes into your heart and life and gives you, as an act of God's grace, the power to believe him and not to be fearful. Does that make sense? And that's only given at times when we really need it. Unfortunately, we'd like to have it all the time, you know, but that's part, again, of God showing up when we need him to, you know, because we're going to need, if he calls us to go through something like these boys went through, we're going to need the gift of faith. Not just our mere belief in Christ and what he did at the cross. We're going to need, just like they needed, a sign from God that, God, you're with me. And he gave them that as the soldiers were killed, even throwing them in the fire. I believe it was at that point in time, them boys probably squared their shoulders and said, we're going to be all right. And they walked right on in there. He gave them the gift of faith. Michelle, then Paula.
Have you ever looked at somebody going through something and you're like, how am I not?
now. Yeah, he does. Yeah, he does. That's good, Michelle. That's good. Yeah, and you see, where the fear comes from us, a lot of times, Teresa, is before God even calls us to go through the thing. You know, we're worried about, well, what's he going to do? How's he going to solve this one? But in his grace and mercy, he looks beyond that. If he didn't, none of us would ever get anything from him because none of us have a perfect faith. See what I'm saying? So he has to give that to us. That's how weak we are as humans. That's how dependent we are on him for everything. Paula, you had something you wanted to say. Yeah. Absolutely. Absolutely. Yeah. Might as well trust God, huh? That's good, Paula. You're right. You're absolutely right. You could. That's a very astute observation. And again, God had to give them that gift. God, I mean, that's a hard thing for us to learn as humans. It is. It's how dependent we are on him for everything. I mean everything. Even the good things he gives us. You know, and even the difficult circumstances he calls us to go through. If he wants to increase our faith, he's got to take us to a place where we can look nowhere but to him. And then he can give it to us because, as Paul has so eloquently said, then we're pliable in his hand. Then we're willing to say, like the song years ago a friend of mine wrote, he talked about a street preacher in this song. And a hoodlum came by and put a gun in his face and said, "If you don't shut up, I'm going to blow your head off." And the premise of the song was, "You can't threaten me with heaven." And the guy put the gun down the song and ultimately was won to the Lord. That's it. That's the best Satan can do. What are you going to threaten me with, heaven? Okay, so if you say you're going to kill me, if God allows that, I'm going to heaven. Wow. Wow, Mary. Yeah.
And she's taken the boy and gone. She's hid. To not give that child a chance. They said his chances were 95% if they started the treatment of him getting well. It's a type of leukemia. And she took him and left. The father agreed to let him treat him.
Right. Mm-hmm. Well, Mary.
Is she right? Could her faith be? I don't think mine would be.
Well, Mary.
I love God, and I think I've got a lot of faith.
Yeah, you do.
I think God would require us to, you know, he works through medicine.
Yes, he does.
He works through doctors.
Absolutely.
Mm-hmm. It's not that he couldn't, but he was here 33 years. Yeah. He's human, so he has to have somebody and somebody to use their feet. So I think I would have to say, I can't
Mm-hmm.
They said it was the same as child abuse, what she was doing. She could be, if he dies, she can be handled, you know, put away for not having any trees.
Well, I'd say there's a couple issues involved there, Mary. Number one, we've always got to leave things up to the sovereignty of God. God could have called. I don't know any of the details about this woman or what she believes. I know in some in some religions they don't believe in like blood transfusions or. Yeah, well, in some religions like they don't believe in blood transfusions or things like that. And if she's rejecting the medical care as a matter of legalism alone, then I'd say she couldn't be right. That wouldn't be faith. But at the same time, like I said, I don't know the details. I don't know what the woman believes. God could have called her and said, I want you to trust me. The Holy Spirit could have spoken to her. And, you know, that's an area that I don't believe that.
To me, that would
be a gift of faith. Well, yeah. And again, God would have to call you to that. Just like what we've been talking about. If he called you to do that, he'd give you the faith to believe. But I also believe you'd see a manifestation of the boy being healed then, if God called you to that, you know. And I don't know, usually most of those stories like that, usually the person's not seeking medical treatment, usually, just on the basis of some legalistic fact of their religion, when, as you so eloquently said, God has provided doctors, you know. If God's, you know, you can't blame God if you're drowning and he sends a lifeboat by and you keep waving the lifeboat away, saying, no, God's going to save me. You know, that's.
I was thinking of that when I heard this story, you know, that just like the guy that was going down the river on a house.
Yeah.
And he got
yeah.
He asked for help. God would save him.
Yeah.
So when he got to heaven, he was mad because, you know, God didn't save him. He said, I sent you a boat, and you turned that down.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
So there's a fine line between faith and foolishness.
Yeah.
And sometimes there really is, and it's up to.
I don't know, just
it would be. It would be. Anybody else got anything you want to share with us tonight? Okay, let's stand and thank you, Mary, for sharing that. Let's go to the Lord in prayer. Heavenly Father, tonight we come to you in the name of Jesus. And Lord, we're glad to know it fills our hearts with a blessed assurance to know that you're never going to leave us. You're never going to forsake us. And as long as we keep our faith in you, you'll always go through the fire with us, Lord. And Father, may we let penetrate our hearts the words of Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego. The God whom we serve is able to deliver us from anything in this life. But if not, he will deliver us from this life. Praise the Lord. He will deliver us. We praise you, Lord Jesus. Go with us now until we meet again on Sunday morning. In Jesus' name, amen and amen. God bless you so much. You're dismissed.